We're delighted to have Reverend Ormerod with us today and to bring God's word. He's a good friend and we'll miss him when he moves up to Ballygown. But we trust and pray the Lord will bless him there and trust and pray the Lord will bless him today as he brings God's word to us now.
Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning. And it's been a joy to hear the children, the young people taking part, the lovely singing and also the readings. And we pray that the Lord will bless and the Lord will undertake. I was thinking this morning, both before and then as I came here, that I've been coming here over the years since I was a child. And I remember Dad coming and doing children's stories. In fact, the only video we have on sermon audio of Dad is here doing the children's story many, many years ago. If you can remember what children's story did, well, there might be a sweet for you at the end. Not for me, but maybe for someone else who hasn't finished their sweets. But I can remember over the years, and it's a joy to be back once again and to see all of the young people and the children taking part this morning. I'm going to look at the prodigal son and the story of it. Hopefully, you'll be able to see that okay. The talk about maybe doing some of the lights just to darken it a wee bit. Just hopefully you'll be able to see, because in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15, there are three parables in particular that the Lord brings to us. There is the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and then the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. And this morning I want to do, or bring to you, the story of the prodigal son. But I'm going to do it with one of my favorite and one of my greatest loves in all of the world. I know everybody has great loves. I can say, well, I love my Savior. I love the Lord Jesus. I love being able to serve him. I must say that I love my wife and my children, of course. I couldn't not say that. But I love chocolate. One of my greatest loves is chocolate. I will never, ever have a week where I don't eat at least one or two chocolate bars. Sometimes more than that. Maybe it's one or two even a day sometimes. Just depends. But I, this morning, Father's Day, of course, I have a massive big bar of Dairy Milk in the fridge waiting when I get home. And that, to me, is the only way to have chocolate, is you put it in the fridge, you make it cold and hard, and then you love the crack in your mouth of the Dairy Milk chocolate. Well, I'm going to tell you the story of the prodigal son this morning using chocolate. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless. The Lord will help us even as we do it. The prodigal son begins, of course, there is a man, it tells us, who has two sons. And that was a happy family because the father and the mother, I believe, brought the children up the right way. They brought them up in the things of God. They brought them up to know the Lord, to know his word. And they brought them up, the children up, to teach them and to show them the difference between right and wrong. But somewhere along the line, the younger son heard a whisper. And he heard of the world and he heard of what was going on in the world. And there was a desire within his heart for the things of the world. All that his mum and dad had taught him, all that his mum and dad had instructed him in, bit by bit it lost its appeal. They start to see God and they start to think about God as being boring, as being holding them back. And so that younger son in particular, he decided and he wanted the things of the world. He wanted to get away from mum and dad. He wanted to get away from their teaching, from their instruction, from their influence in his life. And so that whisper within him grew. And it became that thing that filled his mind and his heart every single day. And you know, there's sad reality for so many in this world because they set their affections upon the things of the world. It tells us in the book of Colossians in the chapter 3 and the verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And how many young people there are and how many individuals there are, and all they want are the pleasures of the world. All they want to gather to themselves is as much money as possible. And they want the greatest and they want the best and they want the newest and they want the finest. And they want to be able to show it off. They want to be able to say, I have the brand new phone. I have the great new car. And it goes not to 60 in whatever seconds they can do it. And I have the best holiday. We went to the greatest attractions in the world. And yet how many never even think about God? How many there are that never ever put their energy and their efforts into having the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ Jesus. Well, this young man was like that. And it came to the point in his life, no longer did he want to be in the family home, no longer did he want to be under the parents' influence, that he says to his father, "Give me my bounty." In other words, give me my inheritance. Give me the money that is mine. Now, usually, you only get your inheritance when the parents pass away. That's part of it, as it were. Whenever they pass away, you either get their bills or you'll get their inheritance. Well, he wanted his money. And so in a sense, what he's saying is, "Father, I don't care for you anymore. I don't want you in my life anymore. I don't want to have you in my life. I'd rather you were dead, because all I want is your money. All I want is that which is mine when you pass away." And with a very heavy heart, the father separated and split up the inheritance and gave to the younger son that which was his. And very soon after that, there was a breakaway. Because very soon after that, the younger son packed up all of his money, packed up all of his possessions, packed up everything he wanted to take with him, and he left. And he went into the far country. Why? Because he loved money. And that's what it tells us even in that verse, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. It says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." Not one person, children, you'll never get through this world without money. You need money to buy food. Nowadays, you need lots of money to buy food. You need a mortgage just to get your weekly groceries nearly. Every single time, it's going up and up. But there's a difference between having money and working for money and loving money. And this young man loved money. Because he thought to himself, "If I have all of the money, then that makes me able to do exactly what I want, go exactly where I want to go, and have all of the blessings or all of the privileges, all of the things that I can find in the world, I can have them if I have money, and so I work and I work, and Father, give me mine." You know how many people there are in this world today, and all they're working for and all they want is more and more money. 1 million's not enough. Then it's 2 million, then it's 5 million, then it's 10 million, then it's seeking to try and make a billion, and it's constantly wanting more and more and never being satisfied. Well, this young man, he broke away from his family and he went into the far country because he took flight. Now, parents, there are some of these chocolates you're going to have to explain to your children, because some of them were when we were younger and they don't exist anymore. So you're going to have to explain to your children just how good they were and what they tasted like. Because very quickly, this young man, he took flight and he went into the far country, and it tells us that his life spiraled out of control. That was one of my favorite bars. I can still taste it. You remember those dark ripples around it, spiraling round and round, and the two sticks in the bar? If only they would ever bring it back. Well, this young man's life spiraled out of control. He went into the far country with all of his money, and very quickly he made friends. Of course, you'll make friends when you have money. You imagine him walking into this new town, this new city, and he's walking in with all of the money in his pockets, and his pockets are bulging. And he goes into the first restaurant, and he goes into the first bar, and he goes into the first night place, and he's there, and his money just coming out of him. All of the people came to his sides. He was making friends. You see, when you've money, you'll have plenty of friends. If you're popular, it's because of what you can give people. And this man was so popular because he had money, but his life spiraled out of control. He was reveling in what the world could offer. You see, some people think it's about what this world can give me and how much of the world's experience I can have. How much of the parties, how much of the alcohol, how much of the discos, how much of the attractions, and just filling your life saying, "I've lived my life." Why? Because I've went here, I've done this, I've experienced this. This young man had it all. He went into the world and he experienced it all. He was living that life. But you know, I thought about this young man, and I wonder how far he actually wanted to go. I wonder, was it a case that he just said, no, I want to go into the far country. I just want to see what it's like. I've heard about it. I just want to experience it. I'm only going to go for a little time. I'm only going to experience a certain amount. I'm not going to go too far. Don't worry. I'll be in control. I'll be the master of my own destiny. I'll have control. I have self-control. I can say no, can't I? Now, there is this little poem. It says, sin will take you further than you ever want to go. And sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you ever want to stay. I guarantee you, when this young man left home, he never, ever thought he would end up where he did. Never once did he say, I will end up in a field with pigs. Because when he left, his pockets were bulging, and he says, I have all of my money, I have the world in front of me, I'll take and I'll experience exactly what I want, and I will be the master. But sin took him, and sin held him, and sin kept him, until he spent his very last dying. He went into his pockets party by party, and he was sitting handing out the money. He's paying for the drinks for everyone. He's paying out this. He's paying for new clothes. He's having all of the attractions and experiences. And bit by bit, the pockets are emptying until he's down to nothing. And he hits rock bottom. And he hasn't a penny. And he's no friends. You see, when the money ran out, the friends disappeared. And here he was, and he's broken. And it comes to payday. You see, boys and girls, mums and dads, there is a payday for sin. It tells us that very clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. The wages or the payday for sin is death. We must pay for our sins. And our sins will either be paid in us, or they're paid by Christ in the cross. But there is a payday. And he came to payday, and all of the sin and all of the activity that he had been involved in, he came to that day of reckoning when he had to look and he had to realize, this is where sin has brought me. Because now there was a famine in the country. Now money was scarce. Food was scarce. He had absolutely nothing. Because the devil had wrecked him. You know, it tells us in the Bible that the devil is like a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, that tells me something about the devil. He's not in a hurry. The devil doesn't panic. The devil plods, as it were, like the big lions, and he just plods step by step, and he's looking, watching for whom he may take and whom he may wreck and whom he may destroy. And young people, remember that as you grew up in this world. There's so much to take and to harm a young Christian. There's so much to take a young child that's grown up in the faith and even give their life to the Lord at a very young age. And as they go up through the schooling and into secondary and then out of secondary into employment or university, there's so much that is there to destroy a young Christian. And the devil's just plodding step by step, looking to destroy you. Oh, he'll shine it up. He'll make it look with the glitz, and he'll make it look with all of the lights. And you'll think, wow, this is so amazing. But the devil's just luring you in. It's that little trap to take you. And then he holds you. You know, one day he ran out of money completely, as I said, the last dime was spent. He had to get a job, and he went to a farmer, and he says, can I have a job? The farmer says, go and feed my pigs. And so he went into the field and he's feeding the pigs, and it tells us that he's so hungry he was going to have a picnic with the pigs. He was going to take their food. And he was going to eat that which the pigs were eating. Imagine how low you have to be. How broken you have to be to get down with the pig's food and be willing to put that in your mouth. That's how low he was. That's how far sin takes you. Sin has no desire, and the devil has no desire to enhance you or to bless you in any way. It's there to destroy. So he's there having that picnic, and he starts to have a time out. He starts to remember. You see, the Lord brought it to him. What about home? He remembers in a dream, as it were. It's all there before him in his mind. I remember my father. And my father has enough food. Not just to feed his family. My father has enough food even to feed his servants. And my father doesn't leave his own family without clothing. Look at me. I'm sitting here in a field and my clothes are ripped to shreds. I'm in tatters. Even the servants have clothes in my father's house. And so he says to himself, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to go back to my father. Why? Because my father loves me. You know, there's no love like the love of God. You might think, oh, I love my mom, I love my dad. You might think as a parent, oh, I love my husband, I love my wife, I love my children. Let me tell you, there's no love like the love of God. It tells us in 1 John 4, the verses 9 and 10, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son. God didn't have multiple sons that he chose one. God had one begotten Son. And he sent his only Son that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see, it tells us, greater love hath no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. What did Christ do on the cross? He gave his life for his people. He died. He surrendered himself to death that we might live. You know, it tells us then the young man, whenever he realized the love of his father, he realized the blessings that were to be found in his father. It tells us he got up and he went home. He got the sneakers on, as it were. He got the trainers on. He got down that road as quick as he could. He came and he's coming in the distance. And there's his father. You know, the father stood out every day looking and longing for his son. It tells us whenever he came down the road that his father saw him in the distance. His father knew him. And his father ran to him. And the son had a whole speech ready. He says, I'm going to say to my father. And he starts saying, Father, I've sinned against thee. I don't deserve to be your son. I'll be your servant. He didn't even get finished. Tells us the father just wrapped the arms around him. And he held him. And the one thing that the father had longed for so long now had taken place. They're united again. You'll have to explain that one to the children. Old honeycomb flavor, like the club biscuit, only the older honeycomb. I was very young when I was having those. But the father and the son are united. Did the father hold it against him? Did the father push him away and say, no, you took my money? You rejected me. You told me you wanted nothing to do with me. You left me. You abandoned me. No, the father hugged him. He called out to his servants and he says, servants, he says, you bring me the best robe. You bring me the ring. Why? Because they're together again. Tells us in Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. It's the only way you can be united with Christ is through the blood of Christ. See, the reality is each one of us is born in sin. We're separated from God. And if we want to be united, we want to be brought into the family of God, we want to be brought into that relationship with Christ, there's only one thing that can unite us. It's his blood. It's that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. It's blood that covers the sin, that then we can be brought nigh unto God. You know, there was a great time then of celebration, because the Father said, this my Son that was lost is found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Can you imagine that joy? Oh, the Father had everything. The Father had a home. The Father had servants. The Father had land. The Father had everything. But when his one Son came home, he dropped everything. And he welcomed the child into his arms. You know, it tells us in heaven there's joy in the presence of angels, even over just one. Just one. So often we look for the numbers, don't we? You have a gospel mission and you're longing, oh, give us like the days of past. Whenever there's double figures, whenever there's hundreds, save, give us the days of revival. And we all long for those days, but never despise the day when there's only one. Even one sinner repenting and bringing themselves into that relationship and crying unto the Lord for salvation, one sinner, there's joy in heaven over one. You know, it's a wonderful thought what salvation is. Salvation's a marvelous creation. Salvation's the greatest creation. Because it tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. See, when you come to salvation in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. You're brought from death unto life. The blindness is taken, now you see. It's only Christ can do it. You know, that young man, he could have tried anything himself. But it wouldn't have worked. It was only when he came to the Father that then he was saved. He could have worked as hard as he could in that field for the other farmer. He could have fed the pigs perfectly every day and worked as hard as he could from morning to night. It wouldn't have made a bit of difference. It was only when he came to the Father that then he was saved. Boys and girls, mums and dads, it's only when you come to Christ that you can be saved. You'll never save yourself. You'll never keep yourself. All that's on in this world and all that the world is seeking to allure you with, none of it will save you. None of it will bring you happiness. None of it will bring you peace or joy. All of those things are found in Christ. But you must surrender your life to Christ. You must come to him. Wonder today, have you experienced his love? The forgiveness of your sins and peace with God. You can if you come to him. I'm back to Reverend Wilkinson.
Return, please, to hymn 689. We thank God's servant for his word. even today. Have you put the lights back on there, please? We thank God's servant for his word, and we pray that even from the youngest to the oldest, that the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning, that it doesn't matter how young we are. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all, as it were, wandered away from our Father, and there is that separation because of sin, and we need to come home and come back to the Lord. And the Lord bless his word. We'll sing a couple of verses of 689, verses 1 and 4, please, standing to sing. Verses 1 and 4 of 689. Seated. Some prizes we want to give out just before we close our meeting in prayer. We'll call upon our brother John, our Sunday school superintendent, to come, and Reverend Omrod, and they will give out the prizes to the boys and girls.
Say firstly, congratulations to the boys and girls. They did very, and the young people. They did very well today. We do thank them for coming week by week and learning the pieces, and congratulate them on how they did. We'd also like to thank the teachers that helped out, Wilma, Christine, and Yvonne. Thank them for putting together the programme and the work that they have done over the past few weeks. Also like to thank Hannah. This morning she's not with us. She couldn't be with us this morning for work, but she was there each week as they were practicing, and we thank her for that. And we thank Joni for stepping in at the last moment when Hannah couldn't come and pulling us out. I thank her for that. I know, I was just thinking, you know, about all those bars of chocolate that her brother was. I always thought he was younger than me, but there's a lot of them I've never heard of, so he must be older than me and younger than I have been. But I do thank him for coming as well. So we give out the prizes. We have, first we have Christina's class. We have Emma Donaghy. We have Mason Crane, but Mason is not with us today. But I should do remember Mason, he had an accident on the bicycle during the week and broke his arm. So do remember him in your prayers, please. Then we have Yvonne's class. We have Kai. And then we have Jack. Jack Johnston. And we have Ellie Snowgrass. We have David's class. then we have Zach Wilkinson, Olivia Mackey, we have Jake, who's not with us today as well, so, then I have the Bible class. We have Sophia Maggie. We have Emily Wilkinson. We have Katie McDermott. We have Chloe Hamilton, who's not with us today as well.
Again, let me thank all the boys and girls and the young people for taking part today and for all who helped in any way. We'll just close our meeting in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for thy hand upon us this day, Lord, in the sense of thy presence. We thank you, Lord, for even the hope of the gospel, that even the prodigal can return to his father. And Lord, we pray that even today the Lord Jesus Christ will seek out even sinners in this meeting. We're mindful also of those who are tuning in online. And Father, we pray that you'll even speak to their hearts. And even, Lord, through thy word, they'll be rejoicing in heaven today over that one sinner that repenteth. We do thank you for thy servant and his faithfulness even to the word today. Lord, bless him and bless his wife and family. And Lord, bless all the boys and girls, all the young people, all the teachers, all who took part today. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. We pray for thy blessing upon our church family. We do remember our meeting this evening. We pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to bring us all back again under the sound of thy precious word. And Lord, be pleased to speak to hearts and bring about that salvation, Lord, that change of heart, that new creature in Christ. Lord, we pray for every faithful witness of thine today in this land and further afield. I'll be pleased to bless the proclamation of thy precious truth. But Lord, bless us now as we take our leave of this meeting and keep thy hand upon us throughout the rest of this day. Lord, go before us now. We pray and ask it all in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.